You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right, so up next, we have North and South magazine, which is back on shelves this week with its first issue since new ownership took over. Earlier this year, with the closure of Bauer Media in New Zealand, magazine readers across the country were devastated with the news that many iconic publications would stop being printed, including North and South. However, the support of North and South subscribers, readers, long-time writers and new owners, Verena Frederica Hazel and Konstantin Richter, have brought the magazine back. I spoke to North and South editor Rachel Morris about the relaunch of the magazine, how North and South survived the closure of Bauer Media, the impact of COVID-19 on creating a magazine, and what we can expect from the new issue. Here is Rachel. So I just thought we'd start at the beginning of the relaunch journey for the magazine, and obviously there was widespread disappointment by magazine readers across the country with the closing of Bauer Media earlier this year. How did North and South survive this change?
So it's been a really unusual and quite eventful journey to get from the pretty shocking, I think, to a lot of people news that North and South and a lot of other really popular New Zealand publications were all closing down without any warning, to the point where we're now back on newsstands and in people's mailboxes this week. So I think the reason that that is possible is because there were so many readers out there who really loved North and South and couldn't believe that it had just sort of vanished from the publishing landscape, wanted it to come back. And because of the journalism that its writers had done over the years and the just long track record of really amazing pieces, then two journalists, just realized that this would be an incredible magazine to give, you know, a new chapter in its life. And so I think the reason that it's back is really, you know, it's a real tribute to all of the writers that have been part of North and South in the past and the kind of reputation it's got for just, you know, top quality journalism about New Zealand.
So how do you feel about stepping into the editor role for North and South on its new journey now after Bauer Media?
I think, firstly, it's a real privilege to get to do something like this because, you know, I'm a really avid reader of lots of New Zealand publications, and North and South is, there's nothing sort of quite like it in the New Zealand journalism landscape. And for most of my career in the States, I'd been working on, you know, long form feature writing, which is just harder to do in a smaller place when, you know, you only have so many people who can subscribe to a publication. These are the most expensive and challenging and difficult kinds of stories to do. And so to be able to work at a magazine, you know, in my own country that does that, and its focus is basically anything that happens in New Zealand, stories about New Zealanders from every sort of conceivable angle, is kind of a dream job. So I'm also just really excited about not just that, but having the opportunity to evolve the magazine so that it brings in new readers and, you know, we can make sure that it has a healthy future.
So just coming off that a little bit, I know you spoke about how obviously long form journalism and even print journalism, it's an expensive journalism form now for people to create, considering, you know, the number of people reading things online and getting their news in a short form way. How is North and South planning to tackle this and be able to move forward and not have another sort of devastating moment with with Bauer Media earlier this year?
So the thing that's really weird about this, I think, is that so my previous job was at HuffPost, which is the most digital place there is, and made its name on very fast, very short, you know, news of the day, trends, you know, the most sort of ephemeral kind of reporting you could get. And then they started up basically a digital magazine, which is what I worked on. And the long stories were the ones that just time after time, not only got very high numbers of readers, like sometimes in the millions, which is pretty amazing, but at the end of the year, we would go back and sort of look which were the stories that got the most readers over time, and it was always the long ones, because if you manage to put together a story that's not just really, you know, interesting and informative and tells you about something important, but if it's actually fun to read or challenging or memorable in some way, then people will find it long after its publication date, or they'll come back to it, or it'll have another moment in the news. And I think it's the same here, where those kinds of stories, you know, I think are something that readers really want. And the thing that we just have to figure out is how to, I think, bring them to people, both through the magazine and also digital channels, which is something that, you know, that was not fully available before.
So from the time where Bauer Media was closed to now the relaunch this week of the new issue, obviously that time has been covered with COVID-19, lockdown, people being stuck in their homes, not being able to go anywhere. How has this affected the crafting of the magazine and perhaps the issues and the topics that are covered in the magazine this time?
Yeah, so it's really sort of baked into both of those things in a way that I think is pretty fundamental. So the whole process of reviving the magazine came about in the most sort of pandemic, like pandemic appropriate way, where the new owners, you know, bought the magazine in the middle of lockdown, you know, via a lot of sort of Zoom calls, then hired me when I was still living in Washington, D.C., and at the point when I decided to come on board, we'd, you know, never actually met in person. But I guess it just feels so normal to interact with people on Zoom now that, you know, by that point, that actually seems like not that remarkable a fact. And then, you know, the process of getting the first issue together, basically we wanted to get it back to readers as fast as we could. So I started work for the magazine when I was in managed isolation and was doing a lot of, you know, assigning stories over Zoom. And while I was sort of looking out the window at the little exercise courtyard where you can sort of wander around like for an hour a day or something like that. So that was, you know, not your normal process of putting a magazine together. But I think it also crept in the sense that it's just a really interesting time to be in New Zealand right now, where nobody is coming here. We can't really go anywhere. And I think it raises all sorts of questions for us that are really the subject of this first issue of the magazine, where I think we've often thought about the fact that we're so far away from the rest of the world as being this big disadvantage. And I think this year, a lot of New Zealanders have started to see the benefits of that and sort of the possibilities in a way that, you know, I think could be quite profound for us over the long term. And so there's a lot of the first issue is looking at, you know, what does this mean for New Zealand that we're sort of all stuck here for a little while, not just in terms of politics or the economy, but also, you know, kind of how we think about New Zealand and its relationship to the rest of the world.
So now, would you be able to just speak about what we can expect from the issue this week? What are we in for?
Yeah, so the cover story is a couple of stories sort of on the theme that I mentioned before, just sort of looking at, we're sort of remarkably safe over here compared to the rest of the world, but also potentially feeling a little bit trapped, and what, you know, what are the sort of opportunities that could actually come out of that? Are there ways in which, you know, we might actually tackle some of the bigger problems that New Zealand's been sort of grappling with for a while we're in this sort of state of suspended animation and, you know, more focused on ourselves than maybe we would have been in other times? There's a pretty great essay by Talia Marshall, who is one of my favourite New Zealand writers, about rugby and her family and a lot more things than that, really. It's sort of, I think, all of her pieces really weave in big and important themes. And this one is looking through her family history at what Māori players have brought to the game of rugby over time and how it's changed as a result of that. Then there's a mix of sort of pieces by familiar North and South writers, and then we're starting to add some new features. One of them is, we call it Utopia Lab, where every month it takes some big, intractable problem that people have been arguing over since forever and, you know, seems to be just kind of stuck in a state of complete inertia, and then looks at what would the most ambitious and, like, most idealistic solution be to this problem, just to sort of step back from, like, the politics of, you know, say something like affordable housing or, you know, transport or something like that, and just think about if you could just solve this problem without any external obstacle, how would you go about doing it? And then I think over time, you know, we'll be covering more sort of culture, pop culture, in a way that I'm really looking forward to, more profile writing of a very varied range of subjects, both sort of well-known people and not, and really, I think, engaging and deeply reported pieces with really great writing is the constant, I hope.
Obviously, the magazine is in print and it is on shelves at the moment. What is the magic about a print copy of a magazine that will entice people to go and read the first issue of North and South?
I think the really, you know, having just come from a place where it was online and going back to a print magazine, the thing that I really love about it is that unlike when you're reading online, where you kind of just surf around and click on the things that you are interested in and sort of leave behind the things that, you know, don't sound like your jam. When you have paid for a magazine and you sit down with it and you start to leaf through it, I think you're way more likely to do this thing where maybe you picked up the magazine to say the thing that's on the cover. You turn the page to, like, you know, that whatever the next story is, and it's something that maybe you previously thought you had no interest in, and just find yourself sort of being drawn into a subject that you don't know anything about because the writing is really great or there's some dimension to it that you didn't know about. But there is something about holding this contained thing in your hand and wanting to browse through it that I think just leads you into subjects that you might not have, you know, ever thought about before. And that's something that I think that really only a magazine can do, you know, a print copy of a magazine in a way that other sort of forums can't.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rachel. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just think, you know, obviously hope that people check out the magazine. We always want to know what people think, and so, you know, you can always get in touch via our website, and yeah, I'm just, like, really happy that it's back and looking forward to, you know, doing a lot more really great stories.
That was Rachel Morris, the editor of the relaunched North and South magazine, which is back on shelves this week, so check it out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.